We should be recording now.
There's such an interweaving of material.
The sound of the voices themselves. The sound of the voices.
Take a tape recorder, turn it on, and preserve the sound.
I felt that the most important people to target were the composers.
Yes, we are, because the needle is jumping there. Mm-hmm.
Life, I have the sound of
a lot of these voices
that I will never forget. The sound of the voices themselves.
American music. I felt as though I had a happy childhood. I had wonderful parents. I was taken to Broadway shows, which made a great impression on me. I love the piano, and I love my piano lessons. I went past the very simple things into, you know, Bach preludes and fugues and a little Scriabin. It seemed that I started playing. I remember right away, a revelation to me. There was just something I was about it.
Very much part of that
that appealed to me, and I appealed to it, or whatever. I began to take courses in art history at Michigan. I was married in 1949.
The sound of the voices themselves. I did not know that the act I was about to commit was even called oral history or how it was spelled. I simply decided
I did not think that I was doing something
on the cutting edge of technology. When the Ives project was complete, I realized that there was nobody doing this kind of work in music.
Don't forget the tape recorders were not these nice little things, you know, that you put in your pocketbook. And I think I was still using reel to reel.
The Ives Project continued to 1972, and Oral History of American Music began right about that time. The university librarian did not approve
American music, part of the music of America.
In the Yale Oral History of American Music, we have concentrated on living composers. I had to travel to places to be there. One of the interesting things is that there's a good bit of detective work. A great deal of time and effort were put into not only finding people and getting to them, but finding them in some pretty obscure places. In some other cases, it's necessary to take a lot of patience and time and often try several times. Sometimes not only we'd get the interview, but we'd get correspondence or photograph.
I was onto something that was rounding out the picture. Banging away on that piano and yelling out "Battle Cry of Freedom."
But Charles Ives,
how he appreciated everything from a rock to a star. Playing and getting excited and screaming, "If you don't understand that, well, you know, I'll play it again." And then singing wildly, "Battle Cry of Freedom."
The battle cry of freedom.
The first oral history on an American composer. Collecting and preserving the voice and the personality of the creative figure.
To be responsible for the finding of that material and bringing it out.
The early turning point was John Kirkpatrick's performance of the Common Sonata.
John Kirkpatrick. He was a mentor and a very close person, became a very close person in my life.
Sorting, repairing, listing all of the correspondence and all of the papers, compiling all of that. As far as searching for people, sometimes it's important to search for them for a certain reason, but knowing that there's something over and beyond.
Harry Parch. I might have been hearing a lot about Parch from Betty Freeman. The voice is always recognizable in terms of the quality of this, of the singing, of that chanting that he does, that was so wonderful and musical and appealing. There's a couple of pages from a small notebook, lined notebook of his. He did that while I was there. I think it's a 23 page.
I think the whole story of Harry Parch in the building of the instruments and
Parch
the
really
found
there
object.
Was nothing he wanted to take from earlier traditions. My experience with Harry Parch, it certainly was meaningful and exciting.
I think of Parch as being a really experimental, innovative composer.
Dane Rudyar and Nicholas Leninsky and Lou Harrison and Elliot Carter.
I went and searched out Leo Ornstein in Brownsville, Texas.
Lou has this booming voice and bearded and jovial.
I got to know my
Leonard
Stein.
Stein
with Betty was connected with Leonard Stein.
I got
Stein.
To know people in the new music community in Los Angeles.
The people in new music is sort of like an extended family, and you tend to know each other. Lenny would greet us, and he always called me Viviana, Bella Viviana, he would say. Bernstein and Copland met, as is the famous story and is well known, on Copland's 37th
Copland and Bernstein
birthday. Very, very close.
I spent a lot of time and a lot of effort with Aaron Copland.
Bernstein was such a mercurial personality and so passionate and so dramatic. He was absolutely brilliant. It's difficult to separate, in my mind, separate Bernstein from Copland, because it was so much my acquaintance with Bernstein was so much part of the Copland relationship.
John sang, "Now, Vivian, every day is a beautiful day."
I met John during the celebrations of
his
60th birthday.
This was one quality about Cage. He was so kind.
The second time, listen to it four times. If you don't like
it's
it.
It's almost a shame to call something chance operations
times.
When it's the least thing is leaving anything to chances.
Everything he wanted to do was something that he hadn't done before.
"I can't wait to tell Vivian," he said to Merce or somebody there.
Sono le 22:30.
I did get a chance to perform in one of the Cage pieces. The music for radio music, there were six of us who carried
radios.
We carried
them
around the
radios
hall.
Into all parts of the audience. He said, "I'm giving you one of the hardest ones, and I think you can do it." I said, "Well, what? Suppose I can't? Suppose I miss and I make a mistake?" And he laughed his laugh and said, "Nobody will know but you, and maybe me. But don't make a mistake."
He stayed with what he decided with great intensity. And it always was fun to be with him. the sound of the voices themselves. The sound of a lot of these voices that I will never forget. The sound of voices. One of the things about these people is that I return to them. We all exist as a lot of different people in our lives.
My goal, I know, was to have the opportunity to document a composer, an unusual, unique, one-of-a-kind composer at work.
These people have made for a marvelous, marvelous part of my life. You get a sense of the times. Let's just talk for a couple minutes,
yes,
and then we'll see how it goes.